2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2- ending 2017, man, going into 2018, one hell of a year. I was actually thinking before we started how when we started kind of doing the podcast route like this.
You wasn't fucking with it?
No, I wasn't fucking with it. I already told you that. But we were ending or just starting 2017. I think we were ending 2016 because our first episode was Ab Soul.
And at really?
That episode, we were talking about goals that we have for 2017 going into this year. And I honestly can't remember the goals that we had. But I just remember that was like the first start of like, all right, we got to get this shit going. We got to make sure we're consistent with it. I think we did a great job. You know what I'm saying?
I think I did a great job.
Well, fuck your job.
I think I did a great job.
Fuck you.
But yeah, for going into 2018, I think goals should definitely be not driving our vehicles into gas stations.
Fuck you.
And
all right, so before we started, I was sharing with Head that we had to be at the station hella early this morning. We're at iHeart recording and shit. But had to be at the station hella early, and I can't believe this shit happened. So I get gas and jump out of the car real quick because, you know, it's hella early. My windows are, is it defrosted?
Yeah.
I go out to get the window.
The squeegee. It's called
squeegee.
Squeegee, the window
thing. Wipe the window down. And I turn around to go to my car to wipe my shit down. And my car is heading towards.
Truck.
My truck. Yeah.
It's a
Hemi.
It's a big-ass truck.
That motherfucker got a Hemi.
Yeah.
It's going towards the fucking gas station. I bail so fast. I haven't ran this fast, I want to say, in the good since probably high school.
Mm-hmm.
Take the fuck off. Thankfully, I jumped in my shit right before it smashed into the gas station. It was so close that the convenience store doors, like, opened up. My shit almost ran
off. Wait. Oh, so yes. Your truck activated the sliding doors at the convenience store.
My nigga, I was 2 feet away from smashing the whole door in.
So how was you going to pay for that?
That's exactly what here's the fucked up part about it. I was happy because some direct deposit just got into my account. So I'm like, cool, I got money to get gas this morning. Yeah, no. Some other shit.
Oh, okay. Some other shit. I was like, we didn't get paid
today. Not till Friday.
Yeah.
But when y'all hear this, yeah. That's another director. So some money had just came because, you know, Christmas fucked me, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm happy. I'm like, whoo, I actually got gas money to get to work this morning. Cool. And I got a little more change to pay this. Okay. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
All
you
I can think of
up
was
your
like,
life.
That shit was about to be gone and so much more.
And sober Chuck.
And this is sober Chuck. Chuck has been sober for a year and a half. And sober Chuck is just as negligent as fucking drunk.
You almost fucked up the convenience store. What, now tell me this. The people that work in the convenience store, what nationality were they?
I couldn't tell. They were brown.
You know what nationality they were?
I don't know.
You would ram your truck into it?
Nah, I wouldn't even go that route. Oh. I wouldn't go that route because where I stay at is, you know.
It's different.
It's different. So, be anybody. But all I know, the motherfucker in there wasn't even paying attention. Like, I back up because I'm hella embarrassed at this point. First of all, I'm thankful that I didn't smash the shit. So I back up, and I'm like, damn, did anybody see me? There's another car getting gas. They not paying attention. And I look up, and there's the teller or whoever, the attendant, the gas station attendant. You know, I was like a little plexiglass or whatever.
Yeah, bulletproof.
Yeah. I'm looking to see if he sees that I almost smashed into the shit. He's just like. He on his phone doing something else. He don't even know that I'm almost smashing today's shit.
Hey, man, listen, he's probably setting up that you know what I mean, that good oop for after work. But so yeah.
Wow. So yeah, that's how my 2017 is ending. Just a lot of shit's been going on. How was your Christmas?
Hey, Christmas was dope. I think that
you did some stellar shit first and foremost.
What did I do?
You got in and out of fucking Target.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. So I didn't
15 minutes.
I didn't start Christmas shopping until Christmas Eve at 8 p.m.
Which is...
That's when I started Christmas shopping.
You don't do that shit. You don't do that shit in general, but in L.A., that's even...
I hate Christmas shopping. Okay, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you some real shit. I mean, we're going to touch on this, too. Because, yes, I did go into Target at 8 p.m. on Christmas Eve to start my Christmas shopping. I knocked all my shit out in 18 minutes
so
flat.
So, let's for the record, you got all gift cards.
No, I didn't.
Okay, so
I actually got some shit.
Now, this is more interesting, because that's one thing I wanted to talk about. I was like, he probably just got, like, 5 gift cards.
Nah, I got about 4 gift cards, but...
Okay, on top of... some
on top
shit.
Of some other shit I was in there getting.
Now, are you just rushing this, or is this like thought out? Like, oh,
nah,
okay,
I went in there with a game plan.
This.
I went in there like, all right,
okay,
you know what I'm saying? She need that.
Gotcha.
He need that,
and it's all at Target.
All that you can get everything
at
Target.
Of course.
So salute to Target. You know, Walmart too far away from the crib, so I wasn't fucking with them.
And Walmart is it's another beast.
Yeah,
it's way more of a beast.
Especially like. I ain't even finna get into that. But I do want to talk about this that you brought up, the Christmas shopping. Christmas was good. Got to see the whole family. Paramedics came and took my grandma to the hospital. There was that. Right in the middle of fucking dinner, dog. So we blessed the food. You know what I'm saying? We blessed the food. And right after we blessed the food, I'm making my plate. I'm hungry. I got to get back
in.
To
right.
I got to get this food so I can get back to the radio station. Next thing I know, I'm sitting in the garage eating my food, and I hear sirens. They like, yeah, they called the paramedics for your grandma. I'm like, well, what's wrong with grandma? I just left her in there. She's fine.
She's cool.
She's in there hunched over, talking about she this and she that, and it's like, bruh, like.
Wait, this the one that be talking shit?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And my grandma legally blind, so, you know, we got to help her do this and help her do that, and that's not a problem. Here's the problem. My grandma raises all kind of hell. She don't give no breaks, and she don't have no fucking chill at all.
Right.
She always talking shit to the nurses, to the doctors that be trying to help her.
Anybody.
Ma'am, you have any pending medical conditions? Of course I do. Don't it look like it? Grandma, they trying to help you.
I'm like,
you
got to
calm the fuck down, dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so that was my Christmas, but I do want to talk about this.
Wait, is she okay?
Yeah, my grandma go through all kind of shit.
Okay.
She fell out the bed last week and broke 5 ribs.
No, the fuck, dog.
On everything.
Like, before listen. Christmas.
Like last week before Christmas. She fell out the bed.
Is she currently in the hospital right now?
Nah, she got out. She be checking herself out.
She Tupac?
Yeah. My grandma Tupac, dog.
Wow.
She don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? So
took 5 ribs. This my eye, my bad.
Yeah, so anyway, I do want to talk about this. That was my Christmas. So I really don't like holidays.
Why not?
I come to the conclusion that in my old age, I don't really give a fuck about holidays.
You know what? I'm
over Christmas. I'm over the trees and the flocking and the lights and the fucking
I'm
wreaths.
Over the bullshit around the holidays in terms of that. I feel you.
Okay, that's what it is then.
I'm over the bullshit. I don't mind spending time with family. I don't even mind making people happy with the gifts. But when I become stressed out because I have to do that shit,
yeah.
That's the shit I don't like.
But that's what I'm saying. Gotcha. Like, as far as I like that, I like what it symbolizes. Thanksgiving, we all know some bullshit.
Right.
They came over here genocidally, whatever the fucking word
gotcha,
is.
Gotcha.
Genocide and killed a bunch of Native Americans.
Right.
That's the symbolism for Thanksgiving is you get together and give thanks to bunch of your family and friends and loved ones and whatnot. Christmas, same shit. I fuck with that. I don't like the bullshit
that comes along with
holidays. Like right now, we got New Year, and then we got Valentine's Day coming around.
Right.
That's some bullshit.
That's true.
It's some bullshit. Some that motherfucker is being marketed to, and I'm not with it.
Right.
I'm not participating. Ain't nobody gonna be my Valentine. I'm not finna do nothing extra. I'm not gonna
buy
no.
Here's the crazy part about it. You not married.
That's because I'm smart.
No, it's not because you're smart. That's not it. I'm just my point is. You're not being marketed to because you're not in the market for that.
No, I'm being marketed to constantly.
How so?
Because even when we be on the radio, make sure you tell people, you know, it's Christmas. We got to say Merry Christmas on air and shit like that. And that's cool. But, I mean, what if I don't want to say that shit?
Right.
Like, what if I don't want to say Happy Valentine's Day on the radio?
I'll give you that. I mean, you don't technically have to. You don't technically have to.
Yeah, but then you...
No, hey, that's different than having to get a gift for somebody.
Well, you don't have to do that either.
I don't have to.
You choose to participate.
No, I definitely choose to. I mean, that goes without saying, but I choose to do it throughout the year. Like, I choose to do that because I know that in my relationship, being married, like, that's... I want to make my wife happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you can make her happy on the 13th and the 15th.
That's my point.
Why
that's
is
my
the
point.
14th?
That's my point. That's why I don't deal with the fluffy shit around that. What I'm saying is... You're not obligated to do it, and you don't have that pressure of doing that shit. I do.
Yeah.
Right? Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? Well, yeah. Thanksgiving, Christmas, from a family.
Well, yeah, because you be doing, matter of fact, you be doing some bullshit.
Hold on.
You wearing them fucked up sweaters and shit.
Hey, my sweaters fly. Fuck that. I don't mind doing the onesies on Christmas. I like that shit. my thing is financially fucking breaking myself because of that shit. You know what I'm saying? But what my point is, you got Thanksgiving. You got, first of all, and I'm specifically speaking on my situation, because my wife, she loves fucking Halloween. Oh, so there's Halloween.
Halloween's the most ridiculous fucking holiday.
Where we have multiple families within our own families that we, like, my mom's spot is a spot that we typically go to. But her mom's, they go over there. They go over her uncle's house. There's multiple spots that we go to. So there's that. Then there's Christmas. Then her birthday is in January. Then you got Valentine's Day. You know what I'm saying? And not to say that I'm complaining about either. What I'm saying is that you think you got it bad, but screaming happy holidays and, oh, you know,
having
the
to
loves.
Come out that
it,
pocket.
It's totally different.
Totally. Well, I mean, I'd be having to buy different shit for my mom and my brother and my sister. And what make it more ridiculous is my sister's birthday is the 23rd of December.
Oh, so you do have to deal with that.
Her
you
birthday got, is 2 days so before
do you,
Christmas.
Do you combine the two?
Nah, she be wanting to double up.
Oh, so you have to get.
And it's like, bro, like, and I don't understand the birthday shit either. Right. I think that's a sham. Why am I celebrating you for your fucking birthday? I should be celebrating your mom, because you. You didn't. It wasn't like you was in your. It ain't like you was in your mom's womb. And you was like, you know what? I like October 25th.
I'm gonna select that.
I'm gonna fuck with that.
Come out then.
I'm gonna fuck with. I'm gonna be a
Libra.
So
if let's just say, hypothetically, if people can choose their day, do you think they should be celebrated that day?
No, I just posted it. I don't like birthdays like that. I agree that every day you should celebrate life. I agree that once a year, the day comes around that you celebrate life. Okay, cool. But I just posted this on my Instagram. These motherfuckers who be celebrating their birthday all goddamn month need to knock it off. Your birthday, December 1st, you talking about, yeah, it's my birthday month. It's the 17th. We still doing shit for your birthday. You got me fucked up.
How's that different than celebrating life every day?
Because y'all don't got to participate.
You don't have to participate in your birthday.
Oh, no. People be throwing sleepovers, get-togethers.
But you don't have to go.
No, I know that, but they always bugging you with it. I know somebody specifically who throws something every fucking weekend for the whole month of October. Like, it ain't your birthday the whole month of October, dog. You got to, like, slow the fuck down and stop celebrating your birthday.
What if they're making it available for the people that can make it? Maybe you can't make it on, let's say.
Then I'm done. I can't make it.
Listen, what if you, exactly. You can't make it on the 1st, but you might be able to make it on the 15th.
Then everything should be like that then. That means you got to throw 30 weddings.
That don't make sense.
Exactly. That's, none of this shit makes sense either. If I miss your wedding day, I miss it, right?
Gotcha.
You're not going to do a makeup wedding next weekend?
Or, no. That's why some people do bachelor parties. That's why there's certain things, like with our wedding, we had, hey, you know what? We can't invite everybody, but you can come party with us after the fact. You may not, or if you want to come, not with some people, we had that option that you actually come to the ceremony. Or, you know what I'm saying? So we make certain things available. You don't have to have 25 different celebrations, but within that celebration, there might be certain things that you
that's
can
all
attend.
Still the same day, though, or say it's around. No, it's not for a month. That's what I'm saying. That's excessive.
Yes, it is. Think about it. When you get married,
I'm getting married on December on Christmas.
Okay, so you have an engagement party, right?
Well, regular people do. Hypothetically,
we're throwing it out. You have an engagement party, which is months before or whatever. Then you have the bachelor party, and in a girl's case, they have the bridal shower, too.
That's bullshit, too.
So I'm saying, like, there's different occasions for people that may or may not be able to make it.
Yeah, but fuck
you
that.
Then you got the actual ceremony and the reception, and in some cases, some people do destination wedding. Like, there's all kinds of shit.
Shout out to Spicy Maddie.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Spicy Maddie.
She just got married in Jamaica and expected me to be there.
I wasn't fucking with that.
I don't go to weddings.
I fuck with you, Spicy Maddie, but I wasn't fucking with Jamaica. I would want to go, but I ain't fucking with the. I don't go to
weddings when they in the IE.
That's true.
If you get married in Moreno Valley, no, hey, I'm probably not fucking
key,
with you.
The only reason this nigga came to my wedding is because he had the DJ.
I had the DJ. I don't like weddings, dog. Stop inviting me to your wedding. I don't want to go to your baby shop. I was just talking to Debbie Dev about this shit yesterday.
And if you go, you're not gonna dress up.
I'm not dressing up. I'm not finna put on no tie.
Right.
Like, that's the thing about people. I hate people, dog. They be like, look, I'm doing some shit, but you gotta put hella effort into it. It's like, this is your shit.
Right, right.
Why I gotta do all the work for your shit?
So not only do you not want to celebrate them, you don't want to participate in the bullshit either way.
If I can come as I am, cool. Like, if I come to work every day, sweats and a hoodie or some jeans.
So
if I could just pull up after work on my way to the crib,
right.
I ain't got to go to Malibu
okay.
or fucking.
That's fine. So it's not It's not this. It's not being celebrated. It's being.
No, you got people make it inconvenient for you to, okay, to participate.
So, hypothetically speaking, if I'm celebrating my birthday all month and it's super convenient for you to go, are you going to every single event? So why?
Because that's too much.
Why? If it's convenient, if you had it, you know, I see you on Snapchat and Instagram. I'm like, hey, pull up to the crib. You know, we got whatever. We got
your crib,
we got food.
Way, hey.
We got food.
You got food?
Exactly. We're making it convenient.
Well, if you got food, I'll go anywhere.
There's food in most cases where people are celebrating, there's going to be food there.
Then if I don't have no...
You don't drink, you don't smoke, so that's not going to encourage you.
No. If there's good food, like if your wife is cooking, I'll pull up probably.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? I won't come every day because I'm going to pack enough for 2-3 days. But... But every four, five days,
yeah.
I'm pulling up.
Oh my God.
I'm not fucking with that every day, all day, celebrating your birthday all month. That shit whack. Like, miss me with the bullshit. Ain't that much celebrating in the world.
True. All right. Well, speaking of every day, man, everyday struggle. I don't know if you've been seeing it. Well, I know you've been seeing it. We've been kind of like just witnessing the meltdown of everyday struggle ever since Joe Budden has not re-upped his contract, or if he technically got fired.
I heard he just walked away because they couldn't come to agreement with his contract.
Which makes sense. I feel like everybody knows that show because of Joe Budden.
I agree.
They come to the show for that.
If, I agree.
He's the Charlemagne of that show, if you want to put it in that kind of context, right?
Okay.
Not to say that people don't fuck with The Breakfast Club without Charlemagne, but obviously there's a big audience that goes to that for that. You know, you have your particular people that go there for that. Mm-hmm. You have academics' audience that probably goes there as well, but yeah, for the most part, they there to love or hate Joe.
Well, I think like any stellar, Joe is a stellar personality.
Very true.
He's very captivating. He's very charismatic. And I think that as a personality, he's far better than I never really got into his music anyway. So I like the Joe Budden as a personality anyway. And I think that most people are gravitate towards Joe as a personality in the sense that he has an opinion.
His opinion matters.
It's so important. I was just talking to, shout out to Noel about this before. And
who's
I walked. It's not important.
Okay.
One of the homegirls.
Okay.
Shout out to her. She's an iHeart. A big wig.
Okay.
So anyway, she pulled me in a room one day and she was like, you know what? I'm so glad that you have an opinion. Mm. And I was like, what you mean?
Oh, I know you. Okay.
I was like, what you mean? She's like, I'm just so thankful that you have an opinion. Like, it's so many personalities out here with no opinion on anything.
That's
and
true.
It's just tiresome. Like, you can only, talk about, a new car or a new song so much before you have an opinion about something.
Now, do you think that's on the personality or do you think that's around the corporate structure?
I think because you got to
think about this too. And just being in radio, I know how it is, and I know that some people in TV go through this too. You have, and not even we can even take it outside of the media. We can take it even with education, right? My sister's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably beyond that now. But like, I know people in the different educational field, and I know people that really want to make a fucking difference in education. Just like there's personalities that really want to, whether they're DJs that want to play music or voice their opinions about certain things, and you have the corporate structure that has their limitations on what you can and can't say.
Yeah.
So that hinders somebody's personality from really growing outside of that bubble.
Yes and no. I mean, you build your own platform like we did.
That's very true. That's saying you can go that route, right?
Yeah.
But in most cases, people that are in there, like when you think of personalities, you think of people that work for different media corporations, big corporations that don't have their own thing outside of what it is.
Yeah.
So for majority of people, just in general, that's what they're dealing with.
I agree with you, but I also think that there's ways, you have to find creative ways to have an outlet in general. I remember, that's the reason why Joe is who he is, because he created his own outlet. He's done radio and stuff in the past, but his platform the basis of it from his podcast.
True.
That's the basis of Joe Budden.
Well, I mean, yeah, and before he was doing it, he was getting on live. I forgot what it was. It wasn't Ustream. It was, what was the thing? Because he low-key was doing everything that you're seeing now in terms of like social media, streaming, like he was doing that before. That's what it is, reality television.
Yeah.
He was doing that on his own with, I forgot, what was the name of the platform? It was before, it was at the same time or before Ustream. Anyway, he was showcasing his life, like, on the road, behind the scenes shit.
Oh.
And that's where his personality developed, because prior to that, he was Pump It Up Joe.
I agree.
People didn't know. They knew him as a rapper, but they didn't dive into his personality until he started doing that shit. He got into it with, was it Method Man and Ghostface over his opinions on some shit. I forgot. But, like, it all stemmed from taking his own thing, which was whatever.
And that's my point.
Was. Right, I got
you. So my point is, even if, like, we shackled a lot at the radio station. We can't say what we want to say. And I get in trouble a lot of times for saying shit that I'm not supposed to be saying. But that's the purpose of having your own platform. And if you don't have it, create it. And if you can't create it, there's plenty, like Gary Vee say, it's plenty of platforms out here. SoundCloud, Anchor.
Yep.
It's all these different ways.
It's up to you to actually
Implement and get it going. So that I don't feel bad for people like that. And I remember one time I was talking to Charlamagne and he told me, because I was going through that, where I was going through a phase where it's like, fuck, I got all these opinions and I got a lot to say. And he was like, bro, you gotta create your own platform. Mm. Like, just being able to do talk breaks on the radio is not enough. You need your own way to express
exactly
and have an opinion about whatever is going on.
If they only hear you that way, it's limited on your opinion that they actually hear.
Yeah, so I think that you're right. I think a lot of people do go to Everyday Struggle for Joe Budden. I don't really know what's going on with that shit, but I definitely don't go to it for academics and... I don't really know him. And I noticed a lot of people have a problem with DJ Academics. The only problem, like I said this in the group chat, the only problem I really might have with Academics is I don't know that he's a DJ.
Mm.
And as a DJ, which you know, before I even took the name DJ, I didn't even change my name to DJ Head until I felt like I earned
100% it. Studied the craft and really, yeah.
So, I mean... That would literally be my only critique about Academics. I don't know him like that.
Right.
I know people that know him. Like, we know mutual people.
Right.
And I don't know that he's actually a DJ. I haven't looked it up either, so I don't know.
Okay. I mean, but, yeah, and I think that's the same reason why people go there, too. They either love or hate Academics, and they go for...
Overlook Ogre? What's her name?
Nadeska. And I was going to say, she's the balance of the crew, but... Joe said something really interesting in one of his podcasts, kind of addressing the whole situation. And I can't agree or disagree, but it just made me think, oh, damn, that's interesting. And the way he addressed Nadeska, he said, she's basically in, don't quote me exactly, but basically he said that she's like a complex plant. She works for the network.
Got you.
So she's the person that they put in there to kind of keep everything balanced and this, that, and the third. So she's going to be good regardless.
Got you.
Whether they go this play. And what's funny is that I actually saw her hosting before all this shit. I saw her hosting another show that they have on Complex. Like, she does stuff internally through Complex.
Got you.
So she's okay. But I do agree, like, a lot of people look past her because... For whatever reason, I'm not going to say her. I don't even think her opinion's not strong. I don't think her opinion's not valid. It's just that when you got two strong personalities like that, you're not going to win that battle.
Yeah.
You got Joe and you got Academic. You got two people that either people love or they hate, and they both kind of have their boisterous opinions. You're not going to get into that. And especially if that's not your lane. Like, for me, my lane is not. I'm not going to argue or debate you down. I have my opinion, and I feel like I've been getting stronger with how I feel about certain things over the last year.
Yeah.
But you know me, dog. Like, when it comes to studio art, I don't do none of that shit. I'll leave in a heartbeat because I don't get off on that. There's only like two or three topics that I'll fucking argue you down with, and it's Tupac.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just some West Coast shit.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, like, we talking like, top three, top five. I can do that all day, but I'll still base it off of my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, my top three, I don't give a fuck what nobody says. My top three, and I'll probably change it within the next year, but top three all time is Pac, Quick, and Snoop. Don't argue me. I don't give a fuck, right? I know. It sounds crazy. I know, but that's my fucking opinion, and that's what it is. So when it comes to arguing, I don't do no type of studio debates and top five hip-hop greatest of all time. I don't do none of that shit unless it's that, right?
Yeah.
But I know that that's the thing that I cater to. Other than that, kind of cool. Like, it is what it is. So that's not her thing. then you can't really fault her for that. And that's just
I agree. I know that certain, you definitely, when you're in an environment like that and you got strong personalities, it's going to be very hard to get through. So, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe that was the intent. Like, they probably needed somebody that wasn't going to be, because if you got three strong personalities, like, if you think about it, like, even the dynamic with the Breakfast Club, you got Charlamagne, who has his opinions, and he's the straight shooter. You got Angela, who's going to get all in your business. She provides that balance, you know, that woman balance. And you got Envy, who's the anchor. He's the DJ.
Yeah.
So everybody plays their role. Could you imagine three Charlamagnes on the Breakfast Club? Or could you imagine three DJs?
Like, you mean the Wendy Williams show?
Yes, exactly. You're right. That's probably why it didn't work out.
I mean, it worked. It worked for a while.
How long was he on the show?
I don't remember.
I remember it was like 2004, 2005 to 2000, maybe 7 or 8.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
So
4 or 5
years. It's bound to pretty much divide at some point. So that's why I think that's why the Breakfast Club has a good balance and why they're doing their thing. But what do you think? What do you think Everyday Struggle is going to go from this? Because they've been bringing in guest hosts. They brought in.
I don't know. Kid. I don't. I just know how that shit go. Like, one, I mean, okay, I'm going based on what I heard Joe say after he left,
which was phenomenal too. If you haven't heard that podcast, I like the way he broke everything down.
Yeah, he broke it all down, and it depends on if what he's saying is accurate. Then I agree with what he's saying, because if you're gonna give somebody, like, it's just like with us. If you're gonna give us a show and tell us to do us, don't then try to implement what your agenda after you told us to do us.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, based on his account, it's like, you gave us this platform. This is what we're going to be doing. Once we already doing this, now you want to start, oh, well, we're doing takeovers, or, oh, we got artist interviews on Fridays.
Right.
Oh, we doing this. It's like, bro, like.
I didn't sign up for that.
Exactly. So I agree in that space, but I don't necessarily know. But I also know the corporate structure too. So, like, and then that was a rude awakening for me, just being even at iHeart, like, understanding corporate structure and how that shit work, and do as I say, not as I do, and like all that kind of shit.
Now, so being, and I know we can't speak too much about it, but like, think about that. Like, somebody that's from the outside that doesn't have the perspective that we have, right? Do you think that's a benefit or a disservice for somebody to come in and, quote unquote, play the game, play the politics?
A benefit, or sir, to who? Me or them? What do you mean?
To you. Let me just use you for an example. To you. Do you think that benefit, because somebody else, let's just say, or somebody, I'm not going to even use you for an example. Somebody might come in and say, or have an opinion about certain things, get into the building, see how the structures ran. Oh, that's not for me. And be out.
Mm-hmm.
I did that before. Mm-hmm. I knew how shit ran as far in terms of radio. I was like, oh shit, I was naive to a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Didn't realize certain things happened certain ways. I'm like, okay. I didn't realize, okay, boom. And ended up not working for a radio station because of that. I just, like, my love got sucked out of it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas other people go in there, they say, okay, cool. Which is kind of like my mind frame now. It's like, well, yeah, there, wherever you go, there's going to be structure or hierarchy in place or rules or whatever. How do you maneuver through that to benefit your situation and ultimately benefit the quote unquote culture, right?
Yeah. I think for me, I can only speak on my personal experience. What it is for me is I come, you know where I come from. Mm-hmm. I came here straight out the streets.
Right.
So for me, it was a rude awakening. Luckily, I'm smart. If I wasn't smart and I was literally just a buffoon.
And like, people don't know that either. Like, you're fucking, I don't want to, I'm gonna admit it, fuck it. DJ Head is an intelligent person, right? So, and a lot of people take that for granted. They don't know that. They think that you just be talking shit, but like, no, this nigga's really a nerd.
Yeah.
I forgot who the fuck I was talking to the other day. And they said, DJ Head is like the coolest nerd that I know. That's like, no, he's like, and they had the revelation too, like, yo, no, he's really a nerd, but he's a cool nerd. And I'm like, you just now realize that shit?
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people may not get that from.
I think, yeah, but so that's what I'm saying. Luckily, I have intellect on my side. If I didn't have that, I don't know where I would be or how this would work out for me. But I think coming in, you definitely don't know all that you probably should know. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody just walking in off the street into a corporate structure, for instance, hence a DJ Head mm-hmm. or Joe Budden, or like you learn things as you go. You learn on the fly and you adapt to them accordingly. But at the same time, it's going to be a lot of shit that you're resistant to. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of shit that it's going to be growing pains.
Yeah.
So once you it all depends. It's not what you go through. Mm-hmm. And it's not what happens to you. It's how you deal with it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that matters. And that's something I always tell people, like, fuck what happened to you. Like, fuck, you got a flat tire, or fuck, you got shot at, or fuck, somebody stole something from you. It's how you respond to that. That's what matters in the course of your life timeline.
Right.
Because your life timeline could take a turn,
right.
or it can keep going. So what I look at walking into a corporate structure and what somebody else should look at is, if you walk into a corporate structure and you deal with a Harvey Weinstein situation, mm. right? And somebody's like, well, you could fuck and you could make, get full time and benefits, or you could work your way from the bottom. Now, at that moment, it's not what happens, it's how you deal with it. Mm. So do I do this or do I don't do that? I was explaining this shit yesterday to my cousin. It's like, everything is a choice. So you can either choose to quote unquote play by the rules and fall in line or whatever, or you can choose to be the rebel. Either way, a decision has to be made. So it's all in the person and what they want. If you want your shit to continue as planned, then keep straight. But if you want to make a detour, it's like when a plane, it's like they know turbulence is ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can stay on course and try to make schedule, or you can make a delay and go around the turbulence.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now that sets off a domino effect in the space-time continuum. Not to get too deep.
Gotcha. Now I get you.
So if I keep straight, I'm going to go through the turbulence. Now we might have engine failure. Plane might go down. It's going to be some shit. It's going to be rough.
Right.
But you keep straight.
And that's your decision.
You choose to make a detour. Oh, we're going to go over here. We can go 120 miles out of the way. Now you made all your passengers on the plane late.
Right.
You miss connecting flights. The airline got to incur the cost for them riding standby. You see what I'm saying? They
should possibly save their lives.
Exactly.
But you make a decision.
Got
you. That makes sense.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, the person walking in off the street, if anybody's listening to this and you dealing with some bullshit corporate structure, it's two choices. Mm-hmm. Push through. It's going to be fucked up. It's going to be rough. And the turbulence is going to clear up on the other end. It's never turbulent the whole flight.
Right.
That's some bullshit. If your flight is turbulent the whole time, you're on the wrong goddamn flight.
Right. And if it is, like, just don't fly Southwest again.
Or Spirit or whatever you want, yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. One thing we definitely want to mention, before we get to that, I want to salute Top TDE for doing not only the fourth annual Christmas, the toy drive in the Nickerson Gardens, but them niggas, and you was there.
I was there.
They brought motherfucking Rihanna to the Nickerson motherfucking projects.
Yes.
What was that energy like, dog? Because I was there last year, and I saw how amazing that was, just the energy of the crowd. Like, people lined up because they opened the doors around 12. Mm-hmm. I think people didn't perform until, like, well, I mean, you had performers.
Like 2 or 3.
2 or 3 o'clock. But you had 2 hours of, obviously, a DJ rocking and then the performances. And so I saw that last year and how amazing that was. This year, how was it?
They taking this shit to the next level. I ain't gonna lie. Like, what Top is doing, I said, I told him. For the people who listen who don't know Top is the CEO.
They know. Top Dog Entertainment. Exactly. Connect the dots.
I told Top, I was like, bro, I said, you a fucking legend for this. Like, he really, so I go, let me tell you backstory, behind the scenes. So I'm in the rec, the staging area is where all artists and all that stuff come,
right.
is in the recreational center.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the rec center, and I'm in there with our producer, Lupe.
Mm-hmm.
And Lupe is going to use the restroom. And Rhett One, who works for Top Dog,
shout out to Rhett,
he's like, hey, I need this area clear. I'm like, what's up? He's like, bro, I got Rihanna coming through. Please, they tripping. I got to have this whole shit clear. I got to ask you to step out. I'm like, all right, for sure. So I'm stepping out. And as I'm stepping out, they're bringing fucking Rihanna into the fucking rec center.
Wow.
And Rihanna's in all white, looking crazy, like just amazing. And I'm just like, bro, Rihanna is really in Watts, in the Nickerson Garden Projects, in the rec center. They was in there cleaning a stall out for her to use the restroom.
Get the fuck out of here.
And she, now, for everybody listening, if you go to the, if you from the Nickerson Gardens.
Don't just go there.
Yeah, yeah. If you from Watts and you fuck with somebody over there and you go in the rec center and go into the women's bathroom and go to the, all the way to the end, at the end of the stall in the rec center, this is a community funded rec center, right? State funded. And you go all the way to the end in the ladies' restroom and bank a left, that's the stall that fucking Rihanna used.
You're gonna have people listening to this going in there thinking that she dropped some.
Bro, Rihanna fucking used the stall in the rec center, in the Nickerson Garden Projects. That's what had me fucked up. It wasn't the fact that, oh, Rihanna's here, oh, right. Look at the ass.
Right, right.
It was like, no.
She just took a piss or shit in the Nickerson Garden's bathroom.
Yes.
In the rec center.
Yes.
Get the fuck out.
Yes. She dropped it off. You know what I'm saying? West Coast.
Yo. I wonder if, but they cleared it out, so nobody was in there.
Nobody was in there. So they cleared the whole building out, damn, and she and Rihanna used, in the women's bathroom, in the rec center, in the Nickerson Gardens Community Center, Rihanna used the last stall on the left, all the way in the back.
A historic landmark now.
Bruh. Come on, dog. Now, I don't want to get too far into that. But anyway, going back to what, I just had to tell that story, because nobody knows that story.
That's some epic shit.
And so, yeah, so anyway, I was out there, and what was dope about it was E-40 show hella love.
Yeah.
Hella love. E-40 came out. Last year was Big Sean and I think Ty Dolla $ign.
For real?
Yeah, last year. Last year, I think Ty Dolla $ign and Big Sean showed up and performed.
Oh, okay.
And then this year they brought E-40 and Rihanna, and it was just dope to see, like, it's just all those people. It ain't never no problems. Right. And I do want to put this out there, too. The city of L.A. can congregate.
Absolutely.
But no, like, bullshit. I hate that stigma that we can't do concerts in L.A.
Right.
We can't invest in rap shows in L.A. This is in the hood.
Hood.
This is literally in the middle of the projects.
Right.
They do this free concert, and people from everywhere come.
And from what I remember, even from last year, what I liked about it is that they employed so many of the people from that community.
Yeah.
Like, you had security guards that actually lived in the projects.
Yeah,
you
know they still live there. Yeah.
Still live there. People that were securing the neighborhood, making sure everything was good. So if there was some bullshit that went on, they were able to step in immediately and stop whatever was going on to make, for the greater good of the event.
4 years running, no bullshit, not one incident. The police is out there. It's all good. They not tripping. They not pulling people over. They not stopping us for jaywalking.
Right.
Like, it's like, come on, do your thing.
Now, I'll tell you one thing. Parking is fucked.
Parking is fucked up.
Yeah, just so you know.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. That's the thing about this event. It's so dope to me that the community really embraces it.
Absolutely.
From my knowledge.
Yeah.
I don't know the back end.
Right.
I don't know if there's some other shit going on, but as a patron and as a concert goer and as a fan, if you show up, you're good.
Yeah.
Show up with a toy, you make your donation, you get in, you see a free fucking TDE show. SZA, Kendrick, Q,
J-Rock,
Soul, Ali, everybody's out there.
To kind of piggyback off of the parking being fucked, the one thing that I do want to say, because I remember last year, I had to block somebody's driveway, right?
You didn't have to.
No, I had to, because, I mean, there was nowhere else to really park. But the city didn't tow my shit.
They didn't tow you.
They didn't tow my shit. And I think because the people in the neighborhood, I remember walking up with the toy, and people are like, oh, you going to the, oh, okay, you going, that's dope, you dropping off toys and shit. So, like, the community understands how big of a deal it is.
Yeah.
And for that one day, I feel like they give a pass.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So,
and I think that I think this time they got somewhere upward of 5,000 toys.
Wow, dude, that's amazing.
Shout out to Top, man. Shout out to the whole TDE squad. What they do over there is fucking amazing. And this year, I think KTLA covered it.
Oh,
and
dope.
I think it's only going to get bigger every year. Shout out to KTLA. They were the only news, from what I could see, they were the only news
outlet there,
a major news outlet out there, really on the ground covering that shit. And I think it needs to be way more than that, because what they do every year is special. Nobody's doing that nowhere in the country.
Right. Shouts out to shouts out to Top, man. Shouts out to the whole TDE squad for doing that for not only the community, but for hip-hop and for the kids, man. So shouts out to them on that. One thing that I do want to touch on as an amazing year as it was or is closing out, one thing that, I'm not going to lie, fucked me up was the passing of our homeboy, Combat Jack.
Reggie Osei,
man.
Hey, man, so real quick, the first time I ever went to New York, one of the last times I went to New York and I got a chance to really sit down and chop it up with Reggie Osei, a.k.a. Combat Jack, it was just all love. Mm-hmm. Like, I went out there. I'm on some L.A. shit.
Yeah.
I'm L.A.'d out. I got the Chucks on. I got the Laker hat on. I'm rocking the Villains. Like, I'm just L.A.'d out.
Borderline disrespectful.
Kind of disrespectful, right. Yeah. Gotcha. Walking through Harlem, all that. I'm in Brooklyn.
You can't say it's Harlem.
Harlem.
Yeah,
you walking Harlem. Through Harlem.
You, say, you saying it like a Cali nigga. Harlem.
I'm walking. Hey, whatever. I'm from L.A.
It's Harlem.
I'm from L.A.
Keep it going.
So, anyway, we take the train and we go up to Tribeca and we meet up with Combat Jack and A-King, Chris Morrow, the whole family. And so we up there chopping it up with them. And I'm talking, but when you talk about welcoming with open arms, like Reggie was like, oh man, come on in, son, you good? Like, you know, y'all brought food. Y'all here go, you want some drink? Like, it was all love. Yeah. Even when I noticed, who was up? Shout out to my homie Tax Stone. Tax was there recording his show for the Tax Season podcast. Right. And Tax came, Reggie.
This is earlier in the year, right? Or was it last year?
This was last year.
Oh, okay.
Got Reggie, Combat Jack is about to have David Banner on his show.
Okay.
And so if you go back and listen to this, this happened during whenever they had David Banner on the show, on the Combat Jack show. So they're waiting in the lobby for Tax to finish. Tax comes out, immediately sees David Banner and presses him. Like, yo, follow me right now. Unblock me. Because apparently David Banner had blocked Tax Tone.
Damn.
He blocked Tax on Instagram or whatever. So Tax sees David Banner and beelines. Immediately goes over there. It's like, yo, you need to unblock me right now. You know,
not
Tax,
even like, why are you unblocking me? Just, you need to unblock
me. You need to unblock me right now. Tax don't give no fucks.
Wow.
He's petty, all pressing that. So he's pressing David Banner, and Reggie's sitting there like, yo, what the fuck is going on? Right. Like, he don't even understand. He don't know. You know what I'm saying? He don't know. And so, anyway, long story short, Reggie just, in his energy, kind of like de-escalates the whole situation. It was all love. It ended up being cool. Everybody, you know, Tax is having some Douce. They drinking some Hennessy. Like, yeah. It ended up being, like, a real cool environment. And I was like, damn, that's crazy how one person's energy can just illuminate and cover the whole situation to where, and that's the type of dude he was. From the first time I met him, even until him coming to L.A., like, Reggie would come out here and he would hit us up like, oh, I'm over here. We pull up and fuck with him. And he would he would hit me on the text and be like, yo, hey, I want to move to L.A. I'm serious. Like, I'm trying to move to L.A. Like, point me in the right direction. So I end up starting looking for places for him to move, you know, in the valley and whatnot. And he's like, yo, I'm serious. I just got two more things I got to handle, and I want to move to L.A. And it was like, damn, that's crazy that I remember just having those conversations with him. And then it's like, he announced he had colon cancer.
Yeah.
And then, 8 months later or something, he's gone.
I don't even think it was that.
6 months.
It wasn't even that.
It wasn't even six months?
It's not. It hasn't been that long. I mean, we can probably look up the dates. But my whole thing is, like, that's what fucked me up, how sudden all this shit was. And I remember listening to when they were on PNC Radio. I remember listening to the Combat Jack show when we were doing this is how it used to be. When we would finish Homegrown, or like the days, you know how when we were in an apartment, we would get ready. Like, people didn't know when I had my old job, I request to get off early on Thursdays, right? So I can prep for Homegrown Radio on Thursdays at the crib. So I would get home like 2 or 3 o'clock. And in the course of me prepping, I would listen to music, listen to interviews, and I would check the Combat Jack show.
Damn.
When it was on PNC, when they were doing kind of similar to what we were doing, they had the full-on stream,
like
3-4 hours with music. Ben Amin was DJing, you know what I'm saying? Premium Pete was on there, Dallas Penn, and Just Blaze. And I just remember how that energy felt reminiscent of what we were doing. And I'm just like, damn, okay, this is dope. They got their thing. They doing their shit. And to see them transcend from that into creating this podcast network at a time where We had a few episodes as far as podcasts on iTunes prior to that, but we wasn't up on that shit. Like, we were so, especially I can attest, I was the one that was like fighting for keeping it the mixed show route and doing it that way. But to see how they took the show from what it was to what it is and the impact that they had on the culture from, you know, fast forward from there to having an interview with J. Cole, like, and you know, J. Cole doesn't do interviews. So to have that interview with J. Cole, and that obviously the infamous one with Dame Dash and just so many moments, memorable moments. I listened as a fan, you know what I'm saying? So fast forward to earlier this year when, you know, obviously you made that connection with him, you know, a year and some change ago. In the course of you guys, I remember being in the car and that motherfucker hitting you up.
Yeah.
Like, yo, hey, what's up? You know, coming to LA or whatever. And, you know, having conversations with Tax. And I'm sitting in the car, like in the passenger seat, like, yo, I'm a fan of these. I'm a fan of what they do for the culture.
Right.
To see you guys communicate and then for him to come on our show.
Yeah.
And do it, come to LA, literally come to the studios here at iHeart. And us do that episode, and it's probably one of the only episodes that we didn't even get on camera because of the circumstances. It was like super late at night, but they came and fucked with us at 2 in the morning in LA. And like you said, that energy, open arms, like, and he didn't know me from a can of paint.
Yeah.
But to walk in and let me rewind, because I met him at A3C. Him and Premium Pete, I met him like in 2013, 2014. And this is one thing that always stood out about our interaction that time. Because it was some event going on. And obviously he was talking to a lot of different people. So I just went up to him, hey man, I'm a fan of the work that you do. Congratulations on just the success and the come up. I've been listening from PNC Radio days, just do your thing. I was going to push off to the side. He's like, yo, hey, you know who this is? He's talking to Premium Pete. He's like, hey, do you know who this is? And I'm like, yeah, that's Premium Pete. Like, and the reason why that stood out to me is because with the Combat Jack Show, obviously his name, Combat Jack Show, and people put focus on Reggie Osei because he's the anchor of the show.
Yeah, he's Combat Jack.
He's Combat Jack. But for him to pass it to his homeboy and say, yo, do you know, but do you know who that is? I'm like, yeah, of course, that's Premium Pete. He's like, okay, but let me get a flick. I got a flick with both of them. I put it on my Instagram. But he passed the buck to the homie, and that kind of shows the type of person that he is. Like, yeah, I'm getting all this attention. Yes, Complex. Yes, we got all this shit going on. But the cast, you know, the people that make me great, too.
Mm-hmm.
He made it very important, you know, at that moment. Yo, check out the homie. You know what I'm saying? We all got our shit going on. Then, again, fast forward to him coming up to the station. He had a fucking great-ass time that night just with you in the mix. He was Instagram. It just had a great fucking time. And I will always hold that memory dear because even after the fact, you know, just corresponding through text, yo, Chuck, you good? Yeah, I'm good, man. Everything good? Yeah, man. Hey, man, thank you for the hospitality. Like, that type of shit, like, thank you for coming through.
Yeah,
like,
that's how I'm a fan.
And for him to just stay in contact, even until those last moments, man, the reason why it fucked me up was because it was so sudden. Like, hearing news, I think we automatically assume, like, yo, he's going to power through.
He's going to push through this shit.
He's going to push through this shit.
I knew that shit wasn't nothing. I was like, oh, he's going to push through that shit easy.
And his energy felt that way, too.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, you know, it's a setback. But it's going to be a setup for something greater. And I just think that the world lost, you know, a great man. I'm not going to even confine it just to hip-hop. The world lost a great individual, man. So my prayers go out to his family first and foremost that have to deal with this situation, obviously, right before the holidays, right before the new year. I know it's not an easy situation. Secondly, you know, the whole Loudspeakers Network, because I know at this time that's not an easy thing to deal
with.
And
no.
I know that they're going to push forward and represent for him. Shouts out to A-King. Shouts out to the whole crew.
Yeah.
I know they're going to carry his name and his honor the right way. But at the same time, I know it's not an easy task to hold. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, I'm a really miss that dude. And just to show that. The one literally the two interactions that I've had with him, you know, it made it feel like I knew this nigga. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so I just, I'm grateful that we had that interaction, grateful for the relationship. And, you know, damn, it's just an unfortunate
situation.
That shit took
him fast. Yeah. It's like, damn, I mean, you realize the severity of cancer, but not until it's up in your face.
Yeah.
We go to the marches, you see all the fundraisers, you see all the, you'll retweet some shit.
Yeah.
You'll repost somebody GoFundMe, you'll regram shit.
Fuck cancer hashtag.
Yeah, all that type of shit. But then until that shit is like right up on you, you be like, oh shit.
Yeah, that was a slap in the face. For a couple of reasons too. Just not only because of the relationship, but it really goes to show like, yo, you got one fucking life. You don't know when it's gonna be your time.
Man.
You don't know. You know what I'm saying? So if that's anything, and we say it's cliche, one life, you know, go hard, but really let that shit set in. And for me, it took me down for a few days. I'm just like, damn, like it took my energy. I'm not gonna even lie.
Yeah.
But in that time of like reflection, it was more or less like, okay, you know, it's time to really set up like the word legacy for 2018 for me is like really the shit that I'm pushing for. Like, what do you want your legacy to be? You know, especially that information and then me finding out I'm having a baby.
Man.
You know what I mean? And now, even as of recently, it's going to be a baby boy. So, like, that legacy shit is really playing in my head right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I'm really thinking, you know, long term. Not that I hadn't been thinking of that before, but it's just you get that quick reminder with shit like this. So, you know, with that sadness comes joy when you have to think about certain things like this because, you know, right now his memory's living on for sure. And he's made a profound impact, not just in my life, but, you know, in the lives of others, man. So that's how I kind of want to start off the 2018 energy, ending off the 2017 energy, going into 2018 as to, yo, what impact we trying to make, man? What we doing?
We can close on that because it ain't really nothing that's on top.
Yeah,
the Combat Jack conversation. And I was looking up his thing because I didn't want to fuck it up.
Oh, yeah. It's only right we end on it, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to fuck it up.
You know what I'm going to do? We gonna do it like this. I want you to say it, right, just for a backup. But I'm going to splice in when he gets on my shit. So I want you to say it.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? If you hear Head doing it right now, we couldn't find the audio, right? But if not, we're going to go into it.
No, we can. I mean, just play. You can play mine, then play his.
There you
whatever.
Go. Boom.
So we'll keep them both. But he always, Combat Jack, Reggie Osei would always end his show the same way, right? And he would say this phrase. And I ain't going to lie, the first time I heard him say
I didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
Yep.
That shit went clean over my head. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, what the fuck is he talking about? And then when you sit and think about it, though, It kind of makes sense like a motherfucker. I don't know where he got it from or where what the origin of it is. I don't know the backstory, none of that. But this is how Combat Jack would always end his show.
This is how we're going into today, too.
He says,
Into nets. You know what it is.
Dream those dreams. And then man up, woman up, and live those dreams. Because a life without dreams is black and white, and the universe flows in technicolor and surround sound.
Boom.
Into nets.
If Bliss was here, we'd say, how wrong?
Yo, hey, thank y'all so much, man. I really fucks with y'all, man. I got a lot of love for y'all, man. And I'm just, like I said, humbled and honored that y'all, you know, give us so much love and support, man. Thank you.
It's going to keep going, man.
Yes, sir.
Anytime you're in L.A., you know you got a home at home grown.
Yes, sir.
All right, it's home
grown. I'm trying to make this a home at home.
Let's do it.